Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. Today we're going to talk about some oddball lemon law vehicles and why they got bought back. And for those of you who are obviously noticing my hair is different, I send my toupee to Switzerland once a year for tune-ups and software updates. I'll get it back in a week or two and we'll be back to where we were before hair-wise. But today we're talking about lemon law vehicles that have been bought back. And I've told stories about some of these cars specifically, but I've also mentioned that they don't buy back non-defective cars. So when I tell you a story about a vehicle that has a weird problem that seems like it has an obvious fix, you go, why would they buy that one back? Well, I'll explain to you why. But you have to understand a couple things. The manufacturer buys back vehicles under the lemon law if the dealerships cannot fix them after a certain number of repair attempts. And if the dealership can't fix it, the manufacturer can't fix it in the last chance repair, then the manufacturer's got to buy it back. Most vehicles that go through that process cannot be fixed. I don't care what anybody says, they cannot be fixed. I did a video with Sam a little while back where Sam bought a former lemon law vehicle and he told me he got a great deal on it. He thinks it was fixed. I said, great, knock yourself out. A couple months later, he posts a video where he has photographs of him and his friends pushing the car out of the intersection where it had died because it turns out it actually wasn't fixed. Maybe it's fixed now. I don't know. But the point is, do you ever know? So I had a client who bought a very, very high-end luxury car. And he went to the dealership, and when he test drove the car, he noticed it had a little bit of a vibration to it. So he mentioned that to the salesman said, oh, we'll fix that. We'll get it to you. So my client buys the vehicle. They allegedly fix the vehicle. My client takes it off, drives down the road, notices it vibrates. Bugs him a little bit, brings it right back, says, guys, the car still vibrates. They play with it a little bit more, give it back to him. They say, yeah, we had to rotate the tires and balance them. No big deal. It's a routine thing. It's fixed. Client drives the vehicle, still not fixed. Goes through this process a few times, finally calls me, and I look at the repair orders, and they're, you know, rotating the tires, balancing the tires, doing all kinds of things with the tires and wheels, but every single time it says, you know, car vibrates, you know, technician rode with client, this car vibrates, you know, there's no question it had a problem. So my client comes to me, I send a last chance letter to the manufacturer and say, look, the vehicle's got a vibration problem that cannot be fixed. Either you guys fix it now or buy it back. So they just ignored the letter. We filed the lawsuit. An attorney I know very, very well shows up. And we are going through our various discussions about trying to solve this. And my client goes, Steve, we figured it out. And I go, what's that? And he said, well, believe it or not, your car, your client's car is not supposed to have chrome rims on it. And I look and I go, but those look like the correct rims. He goes, no, no, no. He pulls out a brochure and shows it to me. He goes, do you see chrome rims on any of these cars? And I go, no. I flip the back where it lists options. No chrome rims. I go, so what happened? And he goes, the dealership took it upon themselves to take that vehicle and send it off and have the wheels removed and chromed and put back on. He goes, now, we don't know what happened, but something happened to where those wheels cannot be properly balanced anymore, at least not easily. And I go, okay. And he goes, but we know what the fix is now. The fix now would be simply take those wheels off, put new wheels on, and your car is fixed. And I said, well, there's a problem there. I'm sure you know what that is. And that lemon law says specifically that we give you the last chance repair, and you guys didn't even take it. And if the car is not fixed after the last chance repair, and right now as we're talking, it's not fixed, right? I go, so you got to buy the car back. And I go, but I'm just curious, so why didn't you guys do the last chance repair? And he said, well, somebody from the manufacturer, after getting your last chance letter, called the dealership and said, guys, do you know what's wrong with this car? Why don't you think, you know, why do you think it can't be fixed? And they told him, we have no idea. They didn't mention that they took the wheels off and chromed them. And now I've had people respond to the story and say, Steve, chrome's not that heavy. Chrome wouldn't do this. You're assuming that they did the job right, first of all. And second of all, it might not have been like the additional chrome. Something in the process of pulling the wheels off, breaking them down, doing whatever you got to do to chrome the wheels, and then putting them back together and putting them back on the car, something got damaged. And I don't know what it was, and I don't care. It's not my job to figure this stuff out. It's simply my job to see the repair attempts qualify, and you got the case. And so the fix was obvious at that point. Just replace the four wheels and the car would probably be fine. and the manufacturer bought the car back as they were required to under the Lemon Law. So that's one of the rare examples where if you actually bought that vehicle because it had been bought back under the Lemon Law and it said wheels were damaged and replaced and now it's fine, you could believe it. But it doesn't happen very often, trust me. I suspect the manufacturer contacted the dealer and said two things. One, stop chroming the wheels. And number two, you're paying for some of the settlement because we just had to buy that car back completely out of our pocket, even though you sold it and made money selling it. So I'm pretty sure that's what happened, but I can't prove it. But the interesting thing is it's always easy with hindsight, 2020, to look back at something and go, so painfully obvious. Of course, I know what the answer to that is. Well, let's do this backwards. I'm going to tell you a story, absolutely true, of a client of mine who had a problem with his vehicle. And I know the answer to the problem, but I'll tell you the symptoms and see if you can figure it out. A client of mine buys a Jeep Wrangler. And I like Jeep Wranglers. I had a Jeep Wrangler at one point in time. Client buys a Jeep Wrangler, and within a couple thousand miles, it starts to vibrate really badly down the road. Faster you go, worse the vibration. Takes it back to the dealership, put it up on a hoist. Guy reaches up, grabs a drive shaft, and goes, oh, you got bad U-joints. Bad U-joints. They replace the U-joints, put them back on the road. A couple thousand miles later, almost like clockwork, happens again. And what happens, he notices that it starts off faintly at first, gets worse, and all of a sudden it, boom, gets really bad. Goes back to the dealership, they put it up on a hoist. Oh, bad U-joints. And by the way, this motion here is me grabbing a drive shaft, okay? Bad U-joints. So they replace the U-joints, give it back to him. Do I need to tell you this? A little while later, starts to vibrate again. Brings it back to the dealership. Bad U-joints. U-joints are universal joints, and they are at the end of the drive shaft, and it allows, in essence, the power to go around a corner. For those of you who are automotive engineers, forgive my simplistic explanation. So after the last repair attempt, my client takes the car back, and of course, it happens again. We send the last chance letter to the manufacturer. Manufacturer just doesn't respond to it. We file the lawsuit. So during the pendency of the lawsuit, at one point in time, I'm talking to my mechanic, and I'm talking to my engineer, because I've got one of those speed dial, who both instantly said, I know what the answer to that is. This is simple. Simple. Oddly, an entire group of mechanics at the dealership either couldn't figure this out or they weren't allowed to do the proper fix. But as anybody should know, working simple math here, those U-joints weren't all bad, okay? The ones from the factory, possibly. The replacement set, seems unlikely. The next replacement set, okay, now we're getting astronomical. The next replacement set, okay, go buy lottery tickets, okay? There's no way that you got that many sets of bad U-joints in a row. So the problem's not the U-joints. It's something else. Now, car guys in the audience are already figuring this out. If it's not the U-joints, and I'll give you a hint, what's the next thing, okay? Well, the U-joint's connected to the drive shaft. And anybody will tell you that if you have a drive shaft underneath the vehicle and it's spinning, you want spinning weight to be balanced. Refer to previous story about wheels on expensive car, okay? You need the spinning weight to be balanced. So a drive shaft, although it's long and straight, has got to actually be able to spin as well and not be out of balance. So you need your drive shaft to be balanced properly. A brand new drive shaft generally is probably balanced properly, unless it gets damaged, like if it gets bent or dinged somehow. But something happened to my client's vehicle's drive shaft that caused it to no longer be balanced properly. So what happens is they put brand new U-joints, it's tight, he drives down the road, and as he's driving down the road, whatever's out of balance starts working against those U-joints, and before you know it, the vibration is getting worse and worse to the point where it becomes extremely noticeable. The drive shaft is out of balance the whole time, but the vibrations are being held in check by how tight the brand new U-joints are, and it gives out as the U-joints wear out. So what happened in that case, again, we figured it out. My mechanic told me, he goes, Steve, this one's so stupid. He goes, I'm ashamed of the mechanics at that dealership who couldn't fix it. Now, the funny thing is, I don't know for a fact that the dealership didn't figure it out. It's a possibility that the manufacturer wouldn't authorize the correct repair. And I've had other cases before where the manufacturer keeps authorizing the same repair over and over again, expecting different results that they don't get. So whether the guys figured it out or not, I don't know, but they never fixed it. The solution to the problem was obviously take the drive shaft off and either throw it away and replace it with a new one, or take it off and send it out and see if you can have it balanced. But the point is that the drive shaft is a problem, not the U-joints. So again, if you bought that vehicle and someone said it's a defect in the driveline that caused it to be bought back, and it went through several sets of U-joints and therefore got bought back, if that's all they said and you bought it, it would start rattling on you too. And then you'd have to figure out, oh, it's the drive shaft. Take the drive shaft out, throw it away, put in a new one, boom, you're good to go. And that vehicle would be probably fine as any other Jeep would be, and you could drive it, you know, till the cows come home. But the point is, now that we know what the answer is, we look at it and go, well, that's obvious. Of course that's obvious. You know, I worked at a gas station when I was younger, and across the street from me is another gas station. And my brother had worked at that gas station before me. I got so many people in my family who worked on cars or work with cars or whatever. And my older brother worked at this gas station, and he said that a client at one point in time brought in a car that had a very, very strange problem, but it had a situation where the battery would drain over a long period of time. They couldn't figure it out. And I believe it was a light in the trunk that wasn't shutting off when the trunk was closed. And the weird thing about that, of course, is that it's like, how do you know the refrigerator light goes out? You hope it does. But you can't tell from looking at it. But it's the kind of thing, if I say, oh, by the way, this is the problem. Oh, it's simple. It's an easy fix. Yeah. Okay, solving the problem is the hard part, not fixing the problem. So that explains why once in a while a wacky car can get through the system and get bought back. But I personally believe those are 1 in 1,000. I wouldn't play those odds buying a Lemon Law buyback automobile. But that is how you get a situation where a very, very strange set of facts can cause a vehicle to get bought back. It's defective when it gets bought back, but it might be easy to fix. Questions or comments, always fire my way. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.